God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off of our Old Testament reading. And pardon my sense of humor here. You can tell a little bit of my background of trying to be a science fiction fan. The title of today's message is Babelfish. And in case if you don't know what a babelfish is, then you need to read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a fish that does something really spectacular. It's fictitious. It's not true. The fish basically is an interpreter. You know, you put the little fish in your ear, and if someone is speaking a different language, the fish would quick hear that and then speak to you the correct language. I'm going, wow, this would be great. This would be wonderful. I'd love to go around and hear people from different countries speaking different languages and actually understand what they say. And if they have a babelfish, then they would also understand what I would say. This would be fantastic. Well, obviously, you know, that had to be the introduction with today's text from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 11. Because here in chapter 11 of Genesis, we have God scattering the people by scattering the language. And isn't it true that if we can't communicate very well, our paths might drift apart? That's not only true with different languages, it's also true if there is a loss of hearing or in the deaf community. It's also true even when two people, particularly a man and a woman, who might speak the same language but now have difficulties hearing each other, not because of the eardrums, though. Yes, we do drift apart if that communication is not there. But if the communication is there, as Genesis chapter 11 reminds us, we can accomplish great things. And that's exactly what the people did. They were wanting to build this huge tower. And there's nothing wrong with building a tower. Okay, I'm not going to say anything of that. God's word says no building should be over 3 stories tall or any ridiculous thing like that. No, that wasn't the problem here. The problem was they wanted to make a great tower that reached up to the heavens and let us make a name for ourselves. Let's put the two together, reaching up to the heavens and making a name. Well, you know, we don't have to go too far. We could even travel downtown Chicago and we find out that we even have large buildings that are named after certain people or organizations. Is that the problem? Well, the problem comes in when you understand what happens right before Genesis chapter 11. What's right before Genesis chapter 11? Basically, you have the ending of the flood account. How can I tie the two? Let's put it this way. At the end of the flood, God promises that he's never going to flood the entire world again. And his promise is even sealed somewhat with, or remembered with, a rainbow. Now, if we are no longer trusting in those promises, no longer considering ourselves people of God, now we understand what the problem is. Why would they want to build a big tower? Because they're no longer trusting in God. They want to build a tower to reach the heavens just in case if God changes his mind. Because we know that human beings often fail to keep their word, so obviously God fails to keep his word, right? And the answer is wrong. God always keeps his word. They fail to put that trust in the promises of God. Into that rainbow. And they said, let's do something about it. We'll do it ourselves. We'll make our own tower. Now, God needed to rescue them, not from building the tower, but had to rescue them from themselves. And the only way to rescue them was to do what? to scatter the people. And the way to do that was to confuse the languages. Now, there's another interesting nuance in our text for today that I really want to build upon. Because where's the gospel? Yes, God wants to save his people, and so confusing their languages, is that where the gospel really comes in? Well, somewhat, but there's another aspect of the gospel we need to listen to. You see, too often in our world, we may start thinking that God is kind of distant. He's somewhere up there in the heavens. The last major day we celebrated in the church, not last Sunday, but 10 days ago, Ascension, where Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, ascends up to heaven. And as we say in the Creed, is at the right hand of the throne of God. And so very often we start thinking in our minds that God is distant. He's not there for us. He's up there in the heavens. Now, to kind of dispel that myth, notice what our text says. What does God do? And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And later on it says, come, let us go down, and there confuse their language. Notice what God is doing here. So in the midst of providing that little bit of that tough love, in the midst of trying to shape them and steer them back to himself, he's going to come down. He's not going to do some armchair quarterbacking, so to speak, by sitting there up there in the throne of God with his handy remote that says, click, click, click. No, he's going to come down. Now, this is something really spectacular because you got to remember, this is the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. He doesn't need to, quote, come down. But he chooses to. Why would the almighty God choose to come down? Because he really does care for the people. He really does love them. He really is concerned that they're trying to build a name for themselves instead of trusting in his name. Now, by the way, this isn't the only time that God comes down. We may remember that God is the one who takes on human flesh and blood. He is the one that chose again to save humanity by coming down. This time not to confuse the language, but ultimately to suffer and to die because of our disobedience, because the many times we want to make a name for ourselves instead of trusting in the name of God. The incarnation reminds us that, yes, God does truly care about what's happening in our lives. He's not some distant God with his deity remote pushing buttons. But he's a God who takes on even flesh and blood to put us on the right path, to show us the power of his name so that we will trust in him. Of course, there's also a beautiful parallel to the name of God being then coming down again from heaven above, but now being plastered on your forehead. When God's word is connected with water, through the rite of holy baptism, God then again comes down and puts his name upon you. You belong to him. Are you going to believe and trust in that name? Today we celebrate the feast of Pentecost, and it truly is a feast day. It's a day in which we celebrate with joy the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, please note a couple things about the Holy Spirit. Number one was the Holy Spirit was promised by God. Jesus even says to his disciples, "Wait here in Jerusalem. Wait until the Spirit comes upon you." And as we heard in our gospel reading, even before the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus talks about the Spirit, the Helper. And that Helper is going to do what? First of all, that Helper is a fulfillment of God's promise. Does God keep His word? The answer is yes. And second, that Holy Spirit will provide for you a witness, will testify to who Christ is, to the defeat of Satan and the eternal life He provides for you. So the Holy Spirit is being given again as that beautiful testimony. But as Jesus says in many of His parables, "For you who have ears, let them hear." Do we hear and understand these promises of God? Do we truly hear and understand that God is with us? Do we truly trust what God has given to us? We're about ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Again, God coming down to us with bread and wine to give us His own true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Are we truly listening? Truly wanting the name of God to be put upon us with water, to be received by us through bread and wine, and in the ears as God's word is read and proclaimed? Or are we wanting to listen to something else? Our human nature, of course, would rather listen to things of this world instead of the things of God. So God came down in Genesis and confused their language. Oh, by the way, just to dispel one myth, it's not in our text, but a lot of people think this: God didn't wreck the tower. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to do what? To get people to trust in Him. We do not have a God who's just filled with wrath and destruction. Otherwise, He could have taken out His anger upon the tower. The tower wasn't the problem. The problem was people not listening and trusting in the name of God. Maybe the people of Genesis for the Tower of Babel needed one of those Babel fish. You know, those one of those little fish you can sort of insert into the ear to help them understand and communicate to them the promises of God. Likewise, wouldn't that be nice? To have a little fish always to whisper in our ears, "Oh, by the way, this is God's promise for you. Trust in it." But the answer is, we really don't need a little fish. God's already taken care of that. That's another role of the Holy Spirit. To tug us on Sunday morning and say, "Hey, the promises of God are being offered." To remind us in our heart the graciousness of God, especially when we feel alone or confused. And in the midst of our internal pains and agonies, for the Holy Spirit to be there and say, "You're not alone. God is indeed with you always, even to the end of the age." So I guess we really don't need this Babel fish, which is good because it's fictional. But what we need is the Holy Spirit, who comes upon us and showers us with His gifts of grace, who shows us who our Savior is, Jesus Christ, and reminds us how important all human beings are in this world. That He even said to the disciples, "You now will learn another language. You won't have to study for it. I'm going to give it to you." So that God's word could go out to all people in all communities throughout all the world. Because God is there, comes down from heaven for each and every one of us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.